Continental Tyres, AFL Trade Radio.
Mitch, for you, do the Kangaroos have a strong position to trade for a Callum Coleman-Jones if they refuse to accept Robbie Tarrant? Tigers would lose their compensation pick for Marbeol Chole. How do you see this playing out for North Melbourne? Robbie Tarrant, obviously going to Richmond as well, and the two clubs and how this is going to work.
Yeah, so I'll try and break it down, Kane. So the Tigers are losing Marbeol Chole to Gold Coast. They will expect a compensation pick right now. So probably a third rounder for Marbeol Chole, given his four-year deal to Gold Coast. Now, if they bring in Robbie Tarrant as a free agent, that will offset the compo they get for Marbeol Chole. So a few years ago, you remember when Carlton brought in Dale Thomas, they lost the compo they got for Eddie Betts. Mm-hmm. So clubs don't like to, when they lose a free agent, they don't like to bring in a free agent because it offsets the free agency compensation they get. Now, the Tigers will want to trade for Robbie Tarrant then, but then they've got the same scenario where Coleman Jones is going the other way. So throw in all of this as well. If Coleman Jones, I think Tarrant gets done for a late pick, 60s or 70s right now. What have the Tigers got? They got a stack of picks early that they might even use a future third or fourth rounder. I think that one gets done. As for Coleman Jones, North Melbourne have the threat of the preseason draft up their sleeve as well. So if Richmond don't want to play ball with Callum Coleman Jones and accept a pick sort of in that second or third round for him, I think North Melbourne would be happy to walk him to the preseason draft. Clubs don't like doing it, Kane, because they know that in 12 months, 24 months down the path, that the shoe might be on the other foot and they might have to be in the same scenario. But there is that threat right now, and we've seen the last couple of years clubs do it. Jack Martin at Carlton and Jackson Hatley at the Crows. So North Melbourne definitely have that option.
Yeah, it's a last resort, I reckon. They do like to be some goodwill, and that doesn't happen often, but as you said, it did happen a couple of times last year. G'day, fellas. It's Adrian here. G'day, Adrian. Welcome to Trade Radio. Just wondering if you think Sydney can orchestrate a three-way deal for Peter Laddams to Sydney, Dawson to Adelaide, and trade picks go to Port. So Laddams is interesting for me, and I was surprised that he extended his deal at Port Adelaide probably this time last year with Sam Hayes, the other ruckman that they're pretty keen to play, and obviously Scott Lycett is their number one option. Not many clubs carry three rucks that can play and are probably in your best 25 players. So I think it's absolutely the right thing for Laddams himself to explore that and try and be that number one target. So there'll be interest, but what's he worth? I mean, what is it a late second round pick? Is it an early? He's a hard one to value, but it's what a lot of clubs have done. I mean, look at Richmond with Nankervis and Hickey going to multiple clubs. You know, there's a lot of clubs out there that are desperate for a ruckman, and often they come from other clubs and they pick them off that way. But I just don't know how to value his worth to another club.
He's worth a lot more given he's contracted. I reckon if he was out of contract, Kane, he'd be an end of second round pick right now. That'd be his value. But given he's under contract at Alberton for one more season, I think he's an early second, maybe even a late first. I know you might laugh and think that's a bit too much for a player who's in and out of the Power's best side, but he is contracted and the Power have the rights to him. Now, Sydney had a crack at him last year before they brought Tom Hickey in as part of the deal for Alir. The Swans cap was really tight. We know it's tight right now. I think Peter Laddams would be the perfect player for that footy club to come in at his age and take the mantle off Tom Hickey. He can play forward ruck in the meantime as well, but I just don't think the Swans have the salary cap room to entice him. He's got 1 year remaining on his back end of deal at the Power, or the deal that he signed at the Power. If he does move, he's going to want a 4 or 5 year deal to do that. I just can't see the Swans having the money to stump up for Peter Laddams right now. But I agree. I think he's a good player. He's an up-and-coming player, and there is going to be interest for him.
Get involved, 1-300-23-55-48. That's the Kogan Mobile Open Line. You got a question for Mitch. There's no one better. We've got him on the early trade this morning only. Then he will resume his usual slot with across all sorts of breaking news. Matthew Lloyd in the house tomorrow from 7 o'clock. Jordan Dawson, Adelaide got pick 23. Now he has announced them as his preferred home, which is great for the Crows. I think it's a brilliant get for them. He's in the absolute right age bracket that they need. The thing about Adelaide, Mitch, they're all young or they're old. There's no real in-between. There's no 23 to 26-year-olds. When I say no, there's not enough of those types of players. So he's in that age, one of the best ball users in the competition, third in Sydney's best and fairest in a good finals year. Is a strong performance. I love him centre forward more so than centre back.
Yep.
The Crows got pick 23. It's not going to be enough, is it? it's just what else they sort of swap and how they manoeuvre this trade, which will happen.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's worth a little bit more than 23, but not too much, Kane. Now, I look back at what Sydney did for the Zach Jones deal a couple of years ago. That was essentially pick 32. Now, you could argue that he had more runs on the board than Jordan Dawson at the time. I think Dawson is a better player than Zach Jones. He's got a lot better upside and he's going to be of better importance to the Adelaide Footy Club. But that was pick 32 at the time. And Zach Jones had been a little bit more of a consistent performer. Yes, Dawson was third in the BNF this year. I think he's going to be a star. I think if it was the Powers pick, what's their first pick right now, that pick 16, that'd be about the right market for him. So maybe it's that 23 from the Crows and a late swap of, you know, second and third round picks for both these clubs.
All right, get involved. You've got a question, what's a player worth? Let us know your thoughts on that one. The big names, I mean, we all got a bit excited with Lachie Neale and the story that dropped a couple of weeks ago, and the trade radio social team were just flying. Everyone was interacting. Is there going to be a surprise? I remember being live on air with Matthew Lloyd when the news about Sam Mitchell to West Coast broke.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't in the prime of his career, but it was just one of those ones that completely floored you. There's something that's going to happen like that, isn't there? I don't have an inkling into what it may be, but is there a Stephen Cornelio back home to Perth? Is Lachie Neale, are they going to go again Freer? I know he said, no, I'm going to stay, but Dane Beam said, no, I'm going to stay also. I was traded a couple of weeks ago and a couple of weeks later, and it's not the first player to sort of flip and change. Is there a big name, Mitch? Are we going to see one bob up?
Well, I'm with you around the Stephen Cornelio discussion. He's got 5 years left on a long-term contract at the Giants on very good money. And as Soss said last week at the Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio launch, Kane, he's being played as a half forward right now on star midfielder money. So it just doesn't fit right now in the captaincy. You can throw all that into the conversation. I look at Hawthorn as well. I know reports over the weekend suggesting Tom Mitchell wants to stay at Hawthorn. That's all and well, but Adam Trawell wanted to stay at Collingwood last year as well. I think if Hawthorn want to fast-track this rebuild, we spoke about what Melbourne did in terms of going for Jackson and Pickett, then one of their stars in O'Meara, Mitchell, Gunston, I think one of those guys has to tip out or at least has to be part of a conversation given how keen the Hawks are to go to the draft this year and fast-track the rebuild under Sam Mitchell. The other one too, Kane, is we can't forget is the pre-agents. So these are the players who are in the final year of their contract before they become a free agent next year. We've seen a lot of these players move over the years. Dylan Scheel, he was a pre-agent when he moved. Alir Alir, he was a pre-agent when he moved last year. Now, Collingwood right now, look at their pre-agents, Jordan Dugowie and Darcy Moore. We haven't spoken about them at all this year. I'm not saying there's anything in the works right now, but do Collingwood look at, think, well, one of you guys might be leaving in 12 months. We go to the trade period right now and cash in and get two first-round picks right now. These are the things that clubs weigh up. Some other pre-agents, Kane, Jack McRae, Caleb Daniel, Jaden Short, James Sicily, Took Miller. I think this is a good a year as we've seen in terms of the pre-agents. I've heard nothing around them, but they are names that clubs will continue to look at over the next 2 weeks.
Very interesting. Let us know your thoughts, Pies fans. Dugowie and Moore, was it, as pre-agents? So they're going to need a massive pay increase, you would think, or be looking for, you know, for Dugowie, it's probably that last big deal, isn't it? You know, that agent. And Moore's probably similar, where, you know, we've seen the likes of, you know, Petrarca sign for seven and Grundy sign for, and Kelly sign for 10. They're all about the same age that these players are. They're going to be looking at deals, you know, upwards of between $800,000 and $1 million. Just with Melbourne winning the premiership, Mitch, I was sort of lying in bed at 11 o'clock thinking about this last night. It never stops, does it? So you get to celebrate for a week or so, and then you sort of look into your review, and then you're always looking at how you're going to get better. The thing with success, it creates challenges, because all of a sudden you've only got a salary cap. And I look at Cozzy Pickett, and I look at Jackson, and I look at Fritch, and they're going to get paid. I look at Oliver. Like, Oliver's a $1 million player, right? Clayton Oliver's a million. What's he got, one or two more years left?
He just signed two more on the top of his deal at the start of this year, Oliver. So he's out of contract. I've got here 2023.
Yeah, so 2000. They'll be looking to renegotiate him, you know, probably at the end of next year. He's going to need probably $1 million for his worth. So it's how much of a sacrifice that these premiership players can now make when they're all deserving of massive increase in salary. And for Pickett and Jackson coming off those, you know, first 4 years in the league, then you're looking for that massive bump in salary. It's going to be a real challenge for them. They've already committed to Petrarca. Gorn's going to need, you know, big money. May and Lever are on big money. We know that. Viney's got a long-term deal on big money. Harm signed, I think, for 4 years on, you know, not going to be big money, but it all adds up. So it's going to be a significant challenge for them over the next couple of years.
It is. I'm looking at their list right now, and we'll get to the Western Bulldogs a little later, Kane. They're actually a big, stark difference in terms of their contract scenarios at both clubs. So the Melbourne Stars are all signed up long-term, as you just mentioned. The Dogs guys, they've got 8 or 9 of their best players all out of contract next year. So that's an interesting watch on them. As for the Demons, you spoke about Bailey Fritch. He's out of contract at the end of next season. I would hazard to say that he's going to be worth double what he is on right now.
Double. 100%.
So another club on the open market, he's worth double.
He's kicked 6 in a grand final. Hasn't been done since Darren Jarman. Like 20-odd years. And he's kicked 59 goals for the year. Now, that's more than any other player. And he's a genuine match winner. And how many match-winning forwards are there? I mean, we saw how hard it was to pick the forward line in the All-Australian team. So if he's on, I don't know what he would be paid. I've got no idea, and that's why wages should become public, and it's a backwater thing that we don't do.
He wouldn't be on any more than average wage, I don't think. Given the Melbourne pay structure, I couldn't see him on being any more than $400,000 right now.
Yeah, $380,000 to $400,000.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit less.
He's worth $700,000, Bailey Fritch, and you know, it's just, you know, what Richmond have done, what Hawthorn did, and what Geelong. I mean, how many great Geelong players played for half of what they were worth? You look at Chapman and Bartell and Joel Corey and Enright and these star players that I don't think ever would have earned massive money and money that they were worth. So success, do you sacrifice it or do you go for the big deal, and how do you keep this list together is going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of years.
But look at Melbourne right now, Kane. How much more is Max Gawn worth in his post-career now that he's got a premiership captain next to his name? Every function he's introduced at for the rest of his life, he's described as a premiership captain. Christian Petrarca is a Norm Smith medalist, Kane. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take $100,000 or $200,000 less a season in your playing career, what does that equate to over the life of your deal? You've got premiership teammates the rest of your life, Kane. Those guys will be able to earn, you know, how much for the rest of their life? I think these are the things players need to weigh up, and it's a really interesting scenario with Melbourne right now. You spoke about their contracts. They've got a lot of players signed up for the long term, but when it comes and those 23 and 24 and 25-year deals start to tick over, let's see what they do.
Hey, I want to look at the Western Bulldogs next, because they're going to be key players in this draft with another academy prospect or father-son coming in, and their forward line next year with Bruce injured and a couple of young stars. But what do they do behind the ball as well in their defensive structure? So how can the Western Bulldogs go one step further? We'll look at that and all the latest trade coming up. This is the early trade for Continental Tyres. It's AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au.